don't worry about if you don't grasp it all. Because I'm going to keep preaching it until you do. It's okay not to grab it all. I told y'all a couple of probably months now, because we ain't been in Bible study for a couple of weeks, that God sometimes just allows you to hear it, and then he'll bring a tutor later on for you to understand it. It's okay not to grasp it all. I do recommend, because the Bible study tapes are free for every last one of y'all in here, and I'm doing a better job, and I will be doing a better job of speaking into the mic that you may comprehend it, and also the reader. We're going to slow down that you may do it. Let me tell you what I do from now on. I have a tape, and I just put it in, and I just let it keep playing over and over again until I get sick and tired of it. Because when I get to the place where I know it all, then I know it all. You got me? We set ourselves so much to just listen one time and say, ooh, they preach. Forget that. Let it keep running. You got to, some of y'all got a half an hour, 45-minute ride to work. Trust me, it'll be a half an hour, 45 minutes worth of me teaching. Coming home, do the same thing. Okay? So we're going to get into some unique stuff. I'm going to clearly bring Jesus Christ into your life, and I'm going to clearly give you the full understanding that I possibly can underneath of my being and my knowledge of who he is. Amen? I'm not going to go long tonight. I'm going to give you an introduction into it, and we're going to take our time. We're going to leave time for questions. Do me a favor throughout the lesson. If you have any questions, write them down. If you need paper or ink pen, let me know. I do have some ink pens in the back. Write your notes down. Please write your notes down. Please write your notes down. You can't come. Your brain cells will not be able to retain everything that needs to be retained. The reason why I'm doing this, and I hope y'all understand this, I'm going away from the preaching concept inside Wednesday night to more of a classroom sitting teaching concept, is because I want all everybody in here to get the full knowledge, that you be able to explain it to the simplest term, and that even unto yourself, who Jesus Christ is. Amen? The scriptures we're going to be coming from tonight is going to be two. They're both going to be at the beginning. They're going to be in Genesis 1:1, and it's going to be John 1:1. So if you have those, just turn to them, put your hands in them, and we'll go from there. Listen, if you're looking for a hoop and a holler, you may get it and you may not get it. I don't know. I'm not even going there no more. I just want to teach for a while. I want us to learn. I want us to really learn. Amen. Now listen, Jesus, one of the reasons why there are so many that have a defective view of Christ is because we see and understand only the atonement work of the cross. Some of us don't even understand and comprehend that part of him. But we just think the only thing Jesus is the cross movement. And some of us don't even understand that. So it's really, we have not found the fullness of who God is inside Jesus Christ. The only way that he reveals himself to us today is through Jesus Christ. Even though there is one God that manifests itself in three different identities, the only one that you truly can recognize is Jesus Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit moves inside of you. He still moves underneath of the umbrella of Jesus. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, speaks about everything and all power was given unto him, that once he put death in hell underneath of the feet, then it all goes back into God, the creation from the beginning, and then everything is all in all, meaning that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was just going to be one entity again. Are you understanding what I'm trying to tell you so far? Okay. Now, the internal Christ is centered around the works of the cross, but he's much more than that. His lineages was traced back inside Matthew to Abraham. In Luke, he traced the lineages back to Adam. And in John, he traced the lineages back to God. Being that Jesus said that I am the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, I'm the first and the last, I am which is, which was, and which is to come. Simply, what is it? What is he? Isn't that incredible? You know, I used to get confused when I was young why we did so much Jesus. Jesus this, Jesus this, Jesus this, Jesus, 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 Jesus. But now I'm beginning to comprehend that the name of Jesus, if you don't know any other part about God, if you can get the fullness of Jesus and the works that he has done and the works that he is doing, then you have probably most of it, if not all of it, one. You know, can I speak a little bit about where you come from, the Catholic religion? In the Catholic Church, and they my brothers to a certain degree, it bothers me that they give more praise to the Virgin Mary than to the actual Son that redeemed us. They give more kudos to the saints, in my opinion, and put them on the same level than the one that redeemed us. And the reason why, they don't even understand that the Virgin Mary was a part of the Christianity movement that brought Christ to the fullness that what he is on this earthly realm in time. But God was before he came inside Mary. His name was Jesus before he formulated him into the womb. That's why he said that he was begotten of the Father. In other words, he wasn't birthed and he didn't start. He just got a part of himself, caused it to be inside an individual. Begotten. You got it? And so that's why we got to understand about the eternal God named Jesus. He was there before he was birthed. And he was there after he died on the cross. We want to talk so much in church only about his movements of the cross and the resurrection, but then we forget about it. Oh, can I? One area where when I grew up used to irritate me, we went into what you call the Holy Ghost movement. And everything was only this. You need the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost to be saved, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. And all I kept hearing about the Holy Ghost. Now we left the Jesus movement. Now we have the Holy Ghost movement. That everything was only about the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. I used to hear so many messages about priests, about just the Holy Ghost, that I got confused. Now, hold on. I thought I was saved by Christ, but then you tell me that I'm not saved by Christ. I need the Holy Ghost to be saved. And all they were speaking was the same thing. But they was just breaking them down and separating when we don't need to separate it. He was the Holy Ghost. I have to go that another part of me shall come. That part of me will comfort you. Are you understanding this? Everybody understand what I'm saying? Are you sure? I didn't lose anybody yet? Yeah, I lost you, didn't I? Holy Ghost is him. It's another part of him. There is no other name underneath the heaven that man can be saved except what? Name of Jesus. There's three parts of God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three of them, you identify with them through only one part of them. Which part is that? Jesus. The Creator never leaves the throne room of God. The Holy Spirit never leaves from the inside of you. But everything still is done in what name? There you go. We always got to pray in the name of. Why? It does get to God, but why? What are you in? Say it again. Huh? No, well, you're in sin, but what are you in? Right now, what am I seeing you, what I see? Flesh. The Holy Spirit never redeemed your body. So it has no say-so on what your body can or cannot do. The Creator, even though he created your body, he never redeemed. So they're all works underneath for the umbrella of Jesus. Are you understand what I'm saying? It's like, let's put it this way. There's a company. And this company has three people that started it. It's the CEO, who now retired, being God the Father. He turned it over to his son. His son runs it, and his baby brother, the Holy Spirit, is out in the field working. Any of y'all ever watch Duck Dynasty? You watch Duck Dynasty. Who run Duck Dynasty? So, hold on. What is the daddy? Who started it? Do the daddy run the company? What do the brother do? Who do all the work? No. The oldest brother do all the work, right? He is the one that puts them together. He's the ones that molds and shaped it. He is what they call the duck guru. In other words, he makes the best duck callers. Hold on. Who runs the company? The son. The father is retired. He just gets a check. What's the son's name? Will? Not Si. Si don't even room for one Si. Is Willie? Is Jake? No. Jace. Is Willie, is Jace, and his daddy. Those were the three original ones. Okay? His daddy retired. He started it. Willie took the business to another level, made him a millionaire by marketing the company. Jace worked in the warehouse. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When they come, they don't go to Jace. They don't deal with the daddy. They deal with who? Willie, the CEO of the company now. It's the same way with you. Even though the Holy Spirit moves, you still don't deal with the Holy Spirit. You deal with Jesus. He's running the company. He is the face of this company called salvation. Are you comprehending what I'm saying? He is your face. No, it's never three separate ones. It's one that formulate in three different functions. We're going to get into this because I'm glad you're saying that, because what you're saying, I'm about ready to butcher you up on everything, because that's why we all are dying inside Christ, because we trying to minimize the duty that Jesus has performed through the entities of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Regenerator, being the Holy Spirit. It's only one God. Listen, y'all, there is only one God. The sad part about it, we think that there are, all right, come here, mama, daughter, and you, come here, Brooksy, come here. Come here, Brooksy. Come on, hurry up. Rush, come on. Come on, mama. Come on. I wish it was three of y'all. Watch this, because this is where we're going to take our time, please. Now, y'all come here. All three of y'all get in the middle. This is where most of us, we see the God here. Go over. This way, y'all see the God here, right? No, get in the middle, the Creator. Get to the right. Because you're the son. No, you actually got to flip over. Because you're on the right hand. You the Holy Spirit, you're on the left hand. Y'all think it's three different persons, separate. We was all taught separate, totally separate. They are not. Come here. There's not the Creator, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grab her hand. Grab this hand on his side. Grab this hand right here. This is the way the God here is one that has three different functions. So what happened was, let us make man in our image. Okay, it's a part of me that wants to redeem mankind. So I'm going to send it down on the earthly realm to preach, to teach, to come in, to do what it do. Go ahead and preach it. Preach Jesus. All right, I got to go, so don't worry about it. Come on back here. I got to go. Don't worry about it. I got to go back and take my right position and store it, because everything is done from the throne room. Daddy's retired, so but don't worry about it, y'all. I'm going to leave somebody with y'all in this earthly realm to help y'all out where I go back in my position. So I'm going to go back, and when I go back, 50 days later, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, but we're going to do it differently. We're not going to walk with you. A piece of me going to go inside every last one of y'all. There's not one Holy Spirit that's functioning on this earthly realm. It's a piece of this Holy Spirit, the same way that he placed the piece of himself inside this Mary, right? He's now placing a piece of the Holy Spirit inside what? Pop, 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 pop. So now you got impregnated with the Holy Spirit. That's why can I teach like I want to teach, Mom? That's why when a baby is born inside the hospital, they used to, and they went, how you know that it was, they opened up and hear the noise and knew that it was alive, fresh, and growing. So here it is, the Holy Spirit now moving on the earthly realm, waiting for you to open up and let him come in, that it may lead you and guide you through everything you need to do. So now, the Father is still what? Retard. Hold on. Do you see the Holy Spirit being flesh? It's just a part of him. Yeah, it's flesh when it goes where? There you go. There you go. There you go. Greater work shall you do. So now, because we cannot leave, since the dead is retired, we cannot leave the throne room uncommanded. So now, because sin is so rampant and he redeemed mankind and took the keys of death and hell, he took the authority. So now the Father just sitting back and said, you got it? Yeah, I got it. So don't worry about it. You got it? You got it. I got it. Don't worry about it. Because things still got to go through him. So now what happens is, you ready? Come on. Stand up. Put down your stuff. She receives the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Walking prayer. Now when she got prayers, her Holy Spirit speaks it. It goes to, because I'm praying, she's praying to the Father, but the Father can't hear her because she got flesh on. And he can't deal with flesh. No flesh can see God. He does not. So what happened is, I got to now put a barrier between them and flesh. So one part of me going to go inside, that it won't be on the outside of flesh. But now I'm going to go through flesh to let this one speak to. There you go. So now, even though this one knows what this one needs and wants, when they open up the mouth, it received through this vehicle, which is now redeemed fleshly man. So now the Spirit is speaking through. It translates it to the Father, because the Father can't even talk to you because he don't. There you go. Baby girl said it's like a domino effect. It's one. It's like a telephone call. Yes. Yes. There you go. And that's where we misses this. But the centerpiece of it all is who? Who's in the middle? No man can get to the Father. There y'all got it. Why? Where's she at? So when you don't know what you pray for, he has placed the Holy Spirit in you that can moan and groan on behalf of you. So now, when you all weak and feeble and acting foolish, the Holy Spirit, because Nan's on the inside of you, can feel what it is. Say, okay, Jesus, I don't quite comprehend what's going on here, but I'm weak and you don't understand. You have not a high priest that have not been touched with your firmament. I understand what's going on. All I need for you to do is to tell me that she weak. I'll take care of it. Y'all with me? All right, that's good. You comprehend. It's one. You sure you comprehend? It ain't three. Listen, because if a day was three, you can kill one and the other one can still survive. If there was three different persons, then one can mess up and we got two parts of it. It's like an engine on an airplane. You kill one engine. Guess what? You still got another couple of them to get the plane home. But if one part of God fails, it all fails, because it's only one. Are y'all with me? But you're gonna see more of this as the coming weeks, okay? Because he said, I'm the Alpha, it means, and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I am which is, which was, and which is to come. Christ's office is identified in a threefold concept: his past, his present, and his future. Past being the prophets that shines a light unto the present priesthood, that shines a light unto the future king. Are y'all with me? Tonight we're going to deal with a little bit of him in the past, how his movement worked in the past to get us to the cross. For the next few weeks, we're going to talk about Jesus Christ revealing himself through other names that shows who he was in the past. And all of them was pointing to him at his birth and him at the cross. Are y'all with me? The first one we want to deal with, and I'm going to show you how the three weights on one and another. And let's go because I think this one is probably more. I really don't want to go there first, but let's go there. Okay. Go to John 1:1 first.
John 1:1?
Yep.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Hold on. Who was made flesh?
The Word.
What was the Word in the beginning?
God.
So, in other words, just a piece of him was placed into a fleshly being. So, Jesus Christ was at the beginning, and he was God. And so it's just a portion of him. See, the problem we have, we're trying to bring God down to our standards instead of raising ourselves up to the God that is incredible. Now, hold on. Let me express this to you. If we're going to talk about the creation so you can get the full understanding, but I want to go here first. Because we want to separate God, because it's hard for us to comprehend that how can he do three different functions and just be one God? Why don't he just do all of it as one being? Why is he separating himself? Why are the three entities moving and separating and doing all these things, but yet he's not overlapping? And it looks kind of weird if we put it in a man-made concept, don't it? An individualized person. But he's a spirit, and a spirit is an essence or a being without a fleshly body. Remove the body off of him. That's what you have. Amen? Now, there's a scripture that I really want to deal with, and we're going to talk about that, and I want you to hold that, and we're going to go to Genesis 1:1. Listen, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And light shineth in the darkness, and what? Darkness comprehended it not. Not now. But in the beginning, let's go back to the creation of how important that he was for him to come in and do what he had to do at the time that he did. So you can really understand. I want you to take me slow of how the Godhead worked together so brilliantly to create not only man, but create creation. Okay, but first and foremost, we got to come to a quick understanding. Stop telling people that the earth is only 6,000 years. Listen. The earth is longer, was created longer than that. You are not the first creation of God. You the recreation of him. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There was dinosaurs that was here before you got here. Man was his second creation. Do y'all understand that? There's no way that you can continue on and think that everything started with Adam and Eve in the garden 6,000 years ago. Especially when you got dinosaur bones that really... can go back way from it. So tell me, Pastor, How did this thing work? I'm going to teach you tonight how creation came about. You ready? You ready? You ready? There is a pause into creation from the first verse to the third verse. Let's go. Ready?
Genesis 1:1.
Yep.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and
who,
the earth.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Who created heaven and earth?
God.
Can you explain that a little bit more for me? Explain the word God for me. I just read it in John. The word, which is not the flesh part yet, just the word, created. All right. So now, the God that they're talking about is God the Father or the Creator, and I'm going to show you how three of them work together. God the Son, the Word, the spoken Word, and the Holy Spirit, the mover or the indweller, the performer of everything. All right? The triune unity of God. All right? Ready? In the beginning, God created what?
The heaven and the earth.
Uh-huh.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Stop right there. At this point of time in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, there was a creation of God that took place on the earth, and it got chaotic. It got all out of whack. At Genesis 1 is when you can go inside the Bible. Do y'all want me to go show you about the war in heaven and Lucifer was kicked out and all that, and he kicked him down to the earth, and he corrupted the earth? And do y'all know about that, or do I need to go show you that? Y'all want to go see that? Let's go see that then. We're going to take our time. Y'all take me to somewhere where I didn't think I had to go, but that's okay. Let's go to Revelation. Go to Revelation 12:7.
Revelation 12:7.
Yeah, hold on now. Don't be moving on slow, man. I mean fast. We're going to talk about how the fall of mankind came about, and how this earth was at one form and God had everything situated, and then there was a revoke in heaven. We're going to tie some scriptures. Let me ask, before we get into it, you have to tie scriptures together. The Bible is not always very clear on some things. You ready? Go to Isaiah 14:12. We're going to hold these together because we got to work them together, okay? Isaiah 14:12. We're going to do both of them together. And I did have it marked. Okay?
Isaiah 14:12.
No, we ain't going there first now. All right? We're going to work it together. See, I go to Revelation and hold Isaiah 14:12. Ready? Revelation 12:7. Read.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven.
Stop. Okay. There was a war in heaven where Michael and his angels fought against the dragon or Lucifer. Go to Isaiah 14:12, and they speaks about why there was a revolt in heaven. Read.
Isaiah 14:12.
Mm-hmm.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?
Who was Lucifer?
The
devil. Before he became the devil. He was the most beautiful angel that was up inside heaven. He was the praise warrior. He was the one that when he moved his body and a third of the angels, their main job and only job was to praise God. You got me. Watch what he did. Come on.
How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?
Hold on. Why? What happened? He weakened the nation because he was cut down or what? Thrown out. Keep on.
For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.
So what happened was, he got proud and arrogant about who and what he was doing in heaven. In heaven, there was three archangels, Michael, Lucifer, and Gabriel. Gabriel was the messenger angel. Michael was the fighting angel with a third part of his angel. Gabriel's the one that send you messages, and David said that he's seen the angel ascending and descending from the throne room of God. Michael was the warrior. He went and fought. Where Lucifer stayed home in heaven and made an atmosphere where God could love to be in by his praise, because God have to dwell in the praises. God needs praises in order to be full. That's why in Revelation you see that there are 24 elders that sit around the throne to give worship day and night unto God. They take the place of Lucifer and a third part of his angels, what their job was. Because he knew the job that he did was so powerful and so beautiful, he didn't want to be on an equal playing field as Michael and Gabriel. He wanted to be like Jesus Christ, the third part of the triune that God was going to send on the earthly realm. So he wanted to be like who? God. So what happened inside Revelation, once he tried to rise up, and like in Isaiah talking about, there was a war that went in heaven that Michael and his angels fought up against them. And keep on. We're back to Revelation. That's what I told you, how they work them together. Come on. Revelation 12. Don't ever lose when I tell you.
12:7.
Yes.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven.
So now their place is not found in heaven because he tried to rise up and be like the Most High God. God said, uh-uh, I'm not having that. You're an angel. You got a job to do and you don't want to do your job. You're going to try to be me? Ain't having that. So he sent his boys to kick him out. Watch what happened. Come on.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
So him and a third part of the angels was no longer allowed to be in heaven. And God, because he's such a gracious God, did not destroy them or put them in the bottomless place. He sent them to earthly realm, out of my sight, because those third revoked it up against him. They was all praise angels. That's why it's now whose job to praise him? Because the praise is no longer in heaven, because the one that was in charge of the praise and a third of the angels that did the praise is no longer there, where he said he'll make a rock cry out and praise him. That's why in the next creation that we're going to get into, where the leaves of the trees even praise him, where all animals are created to praise him. And everybody want to know why animals on earth, this earth could have survived without the animals. He could have created one animal to take care of all. But in case one species die, I still got to have somebody praise me. Do y'all know the waves in the water praise him? Every time y'all hear, it's a praise. What praise means that it's just a showing forth the glory of God and that which he has done. But he makes man to praise him. I mean, he wants man to praise him. That's why inside Psalm they say, what is man that you're so mindful of him, the son of man that you visit him? Why you care so much and concerned about man? Because he wanted to show Lucifer that he can create a free will being that's going to give him praise in spite of. You think that they won't praise me? We're going to talk. That was all in the creation. You think that I'm making them do it? Yes. This whole thing. JoJo, you just broke down a whole salvation in one word, only one line. This whole thing, like I told somebody today, we just pawned in the game. This whole thing is to show Satan a lesson, that I have people that's going to choose me in spite of what you do to me. Watch. Y'all want to know how I can prove this fact? Let's read on. Hey, tell Muffin, turn around, tell Muffin, read on.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Stop. I want y'all to translate this verse for me. I want y'all to read that two or three times if you're happy, and you tell me when do salvation come. Look at that. Slow your roll. I'm on a short bus. Read it again, Muffin. Let's read the whole thing all the way through there. Because I got to find out, because they say now comes salvation. There's a reason. Salvation comes because of something. Come on, read.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is
no,
come.
No, take it up a couple more verses, all the way to the seven. Read it all the way down. I want y'all to pay attention to this. Go ahead.
Revelation 12:7.
Yep.
And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not.
So there was no prevail. Now, okay, let's kick that to the curb. There's nothing in there that had to do with it. It was just he got kicked out. Let's go.
Neither was their place found any more in heaven.
They can't go. Hallelujah. That's why he's mad, because you get to go where he can't go no more. Not only, it's, okay, let me express this to you. How would you feel if you had the best job in the world and you got fired and somebody that was living next to you got your job? You're going to try to sabotage them that they lose their job, because you don't want them to be all up in your face driving in a Lexus and all this. And you now is sitting there with a beat up old car and nothing that you used to have. And your life is hell. But yet they flashing around you every day looking good. Now, ain't you going to do get back moves? That's what Satan doing. He's doing get back on you because he know you going where he can't go. That's why he's so adamant about trying to destroy you, because he don't want you to have what he can't have anymore. And he knew that he messed up. He really know that he messed up. So what his main objective is to bring everybody down with him. Hey, he's a crab. He don't want you to get out of the box. He's like some of us that, you know, we don't want to see people succeed. Misery loves what? He is misery. And he want all of y'all to go to hell with him underneath of his kingdom. So if I can't have it, you can't have it too. Yes, ma'am. No. No. We don't get none. He don't get none. We didn't either. We didn't even until Jesus died. He realized, because Adam messed up, that all mankind was going to die too, so he had to get a second chance. That was all in the creation. We wouldn't have it. We done. We was done. Even everybody up to Jesus Christ had to go to a place inside of hell, a compartment that was kept called Abraham's bosom. And Jesus, when he went into the lower part of the earth, he had to go in there to preach him to them, and they still had accepted he was the Son of God. That's why he went down first. That's how he got the keys of death and hell. All right, keep on, let's go.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation.
Hold on, stop. When does salvation come? When the devil was cast out. So him cast out to the earthly realm with his evilness made God come down here and change this earthly realm. I'm not going to allow you to do what you did up in heaven down on my creation in earth. Did he see this all happen? Yes, he did. There's a scripture that I quoted to y'all 3 weeks ago. It said God created good and he created evil. There's a reason why. You do not know how bad you need God until your life have evil all in it. Evil actually is good. In other words, let me do you my translation of what we just said. You don't know what salvation is about until Satan comes down and terrorizes you and tortures you. A lot of us don't know we need to be delivered until we get to the place where we can't handle it no more. That's why before everybody great conversion over, their life is at its worst or its lowest place. Yes, ma'am. Yes, he does. The lamb, let's go to Revelation. All right. Hold on. I'm not finished yet. Hold on. Let me show you. Let me help you out there. Go to Revelation 3:5. That's the one I want. That's the one I want.
Revelation 3:5.
Go to Revelation 3:5. Dealing with the church. Y'all ready? Come on.
Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life.
There you go. You see that? Hold on. What's blotted means? Removed. So what happens is, he writes your name down. Now, if you don't get it together, he removes your name out. Plain and simple. It's still your choice. But even though he knows everything, and he knows the end from the beginning, and he knows whether you're going to make it or don't make it, there's still a part of him hoping that you will make it. You ever watch a movie and hope for a change? That's what he does. But he already knows who's going to take it and who's not going to take it. But he's going to make sure that he gives you every opportunity to receive it. That's how beautiful it is. Now, let me express something to all of y'all right now. Your name is written when you receive the call. If any of y'all ever go to church and you hear about salvation, at that point in time you accepted it, that's when your name is secured in the book of life. The only way that it can be removed then is when you choose not to continue on in this walk. JoJo got baptized and saved Sunday. At that point in time, it says Joseph Henry Washington Jr. right there. Only way that name going to be removed if little JoJo decided not to keep on going. It's his decision. Your name was written. I hope it was written. It was written. Okay. It's been written?
Yeah.
See, that's why I want everybody to understand. Salvation is really not that difficult to obtain. It's easy to write because he always got a clause in it that if you don't want to stay in this, I got disappearing ink. I got what do you call it? White out. To remove it out. The kids, all kids, and see, this is what everybody got to understand. Salvation is based on you knowing. That's why I get so upset with folks that wants to baptize their kids without knowing. You really open up kids to more than what they need to, because if you're trying to force salvation on them, they are secured until they get to the age where they comprehend what is good, what is evil, what is God and what is the devil, what is salvation, what is not salvation. And until they get to that place, they are covered underneath the umbrella of their parents. That's why it's so important for parents to be saved. Until the age of accountability. And that age is not a number, it's a mindset. All of my teenage and preteens in here, they're at the age of accountability. If your daughter can sit up here and say confessions, she knows about Jesus. If they can sit back here like my daughter and tell them all this about Jesus, then they need what? Because if they died, then they're accountable for their own lives. Now, your little one, God, how can she? No. And that's where folks don't understand. So what we've been doing to try to make us feel good, we've been baptized and say, they said, no. They already saved and covered. That's why I do what you call, is what Hannah did to her son Samuel. He gave him all back to God. It's called a dedication. God protect him and cover him until he get to the age where you are. Now, when did he do that? When he heard God's voice. And he ran back out, and kept seeing Samuel kept going to Eli, and I say, well, this time go say, here am I, Lord. At that age of accountability, when you understand what God is saying, you are responsible to answer the call. That's when it's scary. That's what I'm going to do with my youth and preteens, a message so they can understand. And I wish that I would have got saved as a teenager. Even if I was probably still messed up, I don't think I would have messed up half as bad as what I did. There's nothing wrong with salvation in your life when you're young. Actually, it's really good, because then you got something helping you. Ain't like some of us had to wait till we was older, and then we had to go through all this junk and didn't know what it was, and then all of a sudden we woke up one day and said, okay. Let's finish Revelation 12. Let's get to finish that. Did I ask your question, Miss Elisa? You sure? Nah, that ain't a positive. So guess what? He knows whether you're going to stick with him, choose him. But what he knows has nothing to do with what you know. Got it? So you wondering why you're doing it if he already know whether you're going to be saved or not. He already know the choice you're going to make. It's still your choice. No. Okay. There you go. Okay, all right. All right. It's very simple. Ready? Ready for this? All right, let me see. You ready? I can take a Ziba way. Which way I should take it? Since you're 18 years old, you got a little boyfriend probably now. If you ever had a guy that you caught cheating, he already cheated. You already know the answer to it. What you still going to do? You're going to go through the whole drama to see if he's going to say whether he cheated or not. You already know the answer. But you're going to find out because you got to see it in order for them to be held accountable to it. I'm going to show you why. Come on, because I got you. Why are you playing it out? Ready? Go to Revelation 20 chapter. Revelation 20:11.
Revelation 20:11. Mm-hmm. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
That's why. It's got to be performed in order for them to be judged and condemned to hell. Even though he knows, it's got to be performed on the negative side. So there's no excuse. You remember on January the 15th, 2015, when I sent Pastor there and you rejected this, that, and the other? Yes, you did. I got it right here. In other words, you want to see the video version of it? And then he shows it. So it's, even though earth is in time, heaven is in no time. So he sits up on heaven and he can see the beginning of Adam to the end of Revelation all in one movement. So he already knows what's going to happen, because outside of time, because time is just one line, he can see it in eternity just like this. When you get to heaven, you'll see your whole life in a moment. The scripture says that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. In other words, 1,000 years is like a day in eternity. Now, we all live in 40 and 50, 60, 70, 80 years. So if you break that down into a day concept, so that's only about a half an hour, maybe 15 minutes. Can you remember 15 minutes? That's the way it is up inside eternity. So in a 15-minute stand, he's going to know whether you did it or not, but you're still going to play the whole 15 minutes out. That's what it looks like to him. That's your whole life. So the one moment when you decide to reject him is just a blink. So that's why it's kind of unusual, but it's kind of special. But don't worry, if he has called you, all you have to do is answer the call. And I'm way past my time, but that's okay. Amen? Y'all got me? It's easy. And one thing beautiful about it, and I'm telling y'all, y'all ain't a good day age for salvation. Because you got some rough years coming ahead of you that you can say, hey, I'm saved. All right? Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, we love you, we honor you for all you have said and done. We ask you to continue to watch over, lead us, guide us to all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.